You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. This isn't the first time the Mississippi River has flooded, of course. Massive flooding in 1993 dumped so much water into the Gulf of Mexico that it formed a freshwater blob that oceanographers could track as it moved out into the Gulf Stream. That sparked an perhaps obvious but important idea for oceanographer Ray Schmidt. Whenever it rains, that water has probably evaporated from somewhere in the ocean, and it has left behind salt. Schmidt figured that if he could find the patches of extra high salinity in the ocean and understand where winds and air currents were carrying that water, he could predict rainfall more accurately and further in advance of current forecasts. It's an idea he and his colleagues have worked on for several years, often facing skepticism and lack of funding. But Schmidt, working with his twin sons, has now proven the idea can work. They're the winners of a year-long competition run by the Bureau of Reclamation to see who could come up with the best method for forecasting precipitation, not just a few days in advance, but 3 to 6 weeks out. Ray Schmidt is a scientist emeritus at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. His twin sons are Stephen Schmidt, a software developer at Network Appliances in Waltham, and Eric Schmidt, a mechanical engineer at Verist Engineering in Needham. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you, Heather. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Right, 3 to 6 weeks out. This is kind of in forecasting like a no man's land, right? We've got our 3-day and 10-day forecasts that we all get on our phones or TV or whatever. And then NOAA, the National Weather Service, tends to put out these seasonal outlooks. It's going to be a cold, snowy winter. It's going to be a really active hurricane season. But there's these kind of broad things. And then you've got this in between of like 1 month out, no idea what's going to happen. What makes that time range so difficult?
Yeah, that's sort of an area of new interest. They call it sub-seasonal, that gap, as you said, 3 weeks to 3 to 6 weeks. I decided to try something different. We looked at a patch of land and looked globally for all the sea surface temperature and sea surface salinity predictors that might help forecast.
So let's dig into that. How does a change in the salinity of a certain patch of ocean predict rainfall over some piece of land weeks or months later?
Yeah, well, salinity is an indicator of how much water the ocean has exported from that region.
So how much has evaporated into the atmosphere?
How much has evaporated? The climate system, evaporation in particular, is a complicated function of the sea surface temperature, the humidity of the air, the wind speed, and you know, lots of complicating factors that we can't really measure. But salinity is telling you how much actually left the area. You know, some of it's going to rain back locally, but you can take, say, a 1-degree patch of ocean and look at the changes in its sea surface salinity over time. And we see some years it's saltier than other years. And so those times are when it's exporting more water from that region.
The interesting thing is that when we think about rainfall in the American Southwest, the major predictor that tends to be used is El Nino. And yet, by finding these patches of changes in salinity in the ocean, you are actually able to predict even better. So obviously, you've got an idea that when this contest comes up in 2016, hey, we've got an idea that could really win this contest that could be a better predictor than what's out there. But you've, you know, had these various scientists coming through your lab working on it. And no offense to Eric and Stephen, I know you guys are still there. Why choose to enter this contest with your sons as opposed to some of those scientists who had been working on this problem with you?
Yes, well, we did this sort of global thing looking for correlations. And it turned out we could predict an amazing amount of the winter precipitation in the Southwest. 70% of the variations.
Wow.
And we went to a big meeting and presented our results in a poster. And in parallel sessions, the people who look at El Nino were scratching their heads about why their predictions failed. And we could show that we could explain 70% of the variations in rainfall. And El Nino only explained 14% of the variations in rainfall. So I told them to go look at our poster, and we won a Best Student Poster Award. But anyway, a little later in December, on December 23rd, I got an email from a colleague talking about this rainfall forecast contest. And I said, oh, how am I going to – I got to enter this. But I don't have any team because they had all left, and I don't have the computer skills to do all that stuff. And so 2 days later at Christmas, I see the boys and I say, "What's up, guys?" And they tell me they've been using artificial intelligence to play computer games. And I said, "How'd you like to enter a real competition with real prize money?" Because they were offering $100,000 in the precipitation, each of these two precipitation categories, 3 to 4 week lead and 5 to 6 week lead. Now, it was a lot of work. Every 2 weeks, we had to generate forecasts at each of those two leads. And so I spent a couple of months twisting their arms. And perhaps they want to comment.
So, Eric, you are a mechanical engineer, and Stephen, you're a software developer. Obviously, as your dad has mentioned, you have the skills to do this, but you've got jobs, you've got lives. What finally convinced you, and for that matter, not all twin brothers, once they're off leading their own lives, want to commit to months of working together. So what talked you guys into it? What convinced you to get into this contest?
I think it was a bit of curiosity, a bit of wanting to please my dad, and a bit of a potential for reward money.
Never underestimate the power of a reward. I mean, you guys have now won in two of the categories, correct? So what are you planning to do with that prize money?
Well, I did just purchase a house, so that is probably where most of it just went.
And Stephen, how about you?
Yeah, well, I just got engaged, so I imagine there'll be some expenses in my future as well.
Fabulous. I mean, as Ray, your father, has mentioned, this was a huge time commitment to produce these forecasts every 2 weeks for an entire year. And to win, I mean, you guys took the lead really right away. How surprised were you?
Yeah, I mean, we were blown away. We didn't have any expectations going into it because we didn't know how our model would compare to anyone else's. And we suspected that some advanced teams would be entering, people who did this for a living. And here we are with no real climate or weather experience and just trying something out kind of on a whim. And it really got exciting once we started seeing what scores we were getting.
And we should say, I mean, you were being scored against the best existing forecasting methods, right? And the goal was that you had to do better.
We had to
than
beat
that.
Them. Yeah, we had to beat them.
After, Ray, as you've said, years of working on this, facing skepticism, a lack of funding, not being able to get funding to continue this research because of that, was there a sense of vindication when these scores were coming in?
Oh, yeah. So actually, the story of the first score. So we submitted our first forecast in April of 17. Stephen got him in. There were some test forecasts. And so I didn't have any confidence that the boys were taking it seriously. And then so the first forecast go in April. A month later, I'm running a big meeting about ocean salinity at Woods Hole. And I have 100 people in the room. And of the morning, I'm running this conference. I have to introduce speakers. I get an email from the bureau saying the first scores are in. So I just forward it to Stephen. And then I come back at lunchtime to check my email. And Stephen said, "Hey, Dad, check it out. We're ahead by a lot." Our first forecast was great. And basically, we led the whole way. And the forecast organizers were very impressed with our long lead forecast. Most people's forecast got worse at longer lead. Ours stays strong. And at the end, our forecast score was twice as good as the nearest competitor. And they were a professional forecast company.
So, Stephen, does Salient, that's your team name for this competition, does Salient continue? Is there a future for this forecasting?
Well, so there might be. At the moment, we're kind of exploring, if there's commercial opportunities for this type of forecast.
There's also a potential another competition coming up that the Bureau announced would start this summer. So we'll see about that.
I'm curious, in doing this competition, Eric, you mentioned that it feels good to have made a contribution. I mean, you guys have potentially pushed the boundary and the standard for what forecasting can do in terms of precipitation forecasts. In addition to feeling good, is there any kind of downside to that of questioning the strength or the quality of our forecasts? Does it cause you to call into question kind of the establishment when you can come into this without that oceanography background and blow all the professionals out of the water?
So the purpose of the competition was aimed at using machine learning to predict weather better. And I think some of the teams, perhaps all of the teams did that. We really wanted to use a AI approach, and so we looked into deep learning, and I'm not sure if that's what pulled us ahead of the others, but it could be, and I don't know what the others did for strategies.
So some of the methods we used are really the state of the art, cutting edge AI techniques. That's kind of the role that Eric took. Eric was more the AI ML person, and I took on the task of gathering the data and automating the whole process. But Eric was reading the latest papers on AI techniques, and I don't think it's discouraging so much as encouraging of what the future might hold with the latest technology that's being developed.
That's Stephen Schmidt, a software developer at Network Appliances in Waltham. His twin brother, Eric Schmidt, is a mechanical engineer at Verist Engineering in Needham. And their father, Ray Schmidt, is a scientist emeritus at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Together, they are Team Salient, one of the winners of a recent rainfall prediction contest run by the Bureau of Reclamation. Thanks to all three of you.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
You can find Team Salient's forecast for the next 10 weeks at salientpredictions.com.